I'm just going to have a quick question, get a quick, see what my audience is like. How many of you used FinnMS or are familiar with FinnMS? Oh, good. All right. This presentation is very technical. I talk more about the physical components used in actually developing a grid framework. The idea behind this is to, we actually start development of this in parallel to the current efforts with the Globus Toolkit. So the idea is to, this is a reference implementation, and then actually to move this project onto the Globus framework. Okay? All right, first we'll go through an overview. First of all, we wanted to understand what's the purpose of developing a prototype. We want to talk about some of the ideas and that are drivers for developing a type of prototype for GRID. Then we'll talk about very briefly what is real-time situation awareness and application, and at a high level. Now, the goal of explaining this is not for the situational awareness into the public health range, but more so at a generic level, because what the goal is to provide kind of a canvas, and then let the public health experts actually use that canvas to create whatever is needed to gather, to be aware of whatever data is needed. Then we'll talk about grid design goals, and we'll go through some things that, if you think about these ideas first, then it makes creating a data grid easier, and actually makes it more scalable. Then we'll talk about device-driven data grid network topology. Now, I'm a strong believer in users controlling devices. So when you're issuing security credentials and things like that, you're issuing them to devices, not the user. And so we want to talk about that and go into that a little bit and talk about the topology. Then we'll look at an individual data grid node architecture. What does it look like? What are some of the components inside of that? And we'll explain some of that. Then the next important thing, of course, is a simplified security PKI for a device-driven network. Again, users control devices, and we'll talk about that and some of the basic fundamentals for a grid node that need to be there. Then we'll look at a grid functional layout for the actual prototype that was this process being created. Then we'll go through a conclusion, a roadmap, what are the next steps, and then we'll cover some questions. All right, now the purpose for developing this prototype, first of all, again, it's reference implementation of a common public health grid platform, okay? So basically, this has been done, well, the work started before the work at CDC, but again, what we want to do is have these services leveraged onto the Globus framework at some point. And also, we want to think about being infinitely scalable. There's several challenges today with the FinnMS and security. One of them, of course, is you had to have certificates and things like that. Of course, at the federal level, we had to pay for these, and it gets very expensive very quickly. Also, the maintenance of all these nodes is very challenging. So again, I wanted to create something that actually thought about this first and then move forward from there. The next thing we want to talk about is maintenance cost. We want to target a ratio of one admin per 10 nodes, with approximately each node having 75 users. So that, again, will significantly drive down the cost of your maintenance by going forward or planning this in the beginning. Then we want to be community-driven. Everything here you'll see today is open source and will be distributed as such. The targeted open source licensing models are Apache and Lesser GNU public license. Both of these are very deployment-friendly. People can repackage them, ship them with their products, and so on and so forth. The next thing we want to talk about is extending secure, reliable communication. Right now, I use FinnMS as an example, but we focus primarily just on data transport. But also, that can be leveraged into a framework that you can extend that to applications and command sets or protocols. All right? Then also, we want a platform that is device agnostic. Now, the goal here is that if you're developing a system that's just geared for PC or a Windows or Linux PC, then you have issues when you want a smartphone that you want to actually collect data and transmit that somewhere. So again, being very smart about it and say, okay, let's think about this first before we move forward, will help in a true solution. Then also we want to talk about enhancing the support process with the program. The biggest challenge, or one of the biggest challenges with FNMS, is the support process. You're issued a certificate, how do you install it, when it's installed, how to link up and get additional applications, so on and so forth. And some of you are very familiar with that. Okay, so we'll briefly go into the real-time situational awareness in application at a high level. The first thing we want to do is to tag the data at the metadata level. Now, the internals of that data still are determined by the public health specialist or whatever organization is transmitting that data. But on the outside, you want to be able to classify that data. That data should have some type of location tag on the outside. It should have some time period when that data was actually created and possible expiration when it's no longer valid. And then also you want to be able to index this data so it can be searched upon. All right? With that, the next series of components are things that kind of create a situational awareness data grid. And those components would be, have some way of doing clustered search results. So you can search across multiple nodes from one node. Data replication, of course, you want any system like this that's doing surveillance to be fault tolerant. So again, you want to be able to run two nodes at the same time and then, you know, transfer that data back and forth to make sure that the data is replicated properly and the system is fault tolerant as a result. Then also, you want to have some type of GIS viewing capability and processing. So you're able to actually bring up a map like you see on the side, and then you could take different looks at different data points at certain locations. Then lastly, you want to be able to distribute applications and services. Now, in the current idea in grid technology, we talk about service and relates to web services. Well, that's good, but what about if I want to launch an entire application across the web that might use a combination of web services, other data, massage your data, and respond to you in a way that's kind of like just a regular application? Well, there's a technique to do that, and I'll present that here. All right? All right, so these are the grid design goals. Now, I'm not going to go through each one of them, more just point out the highlights. Some of the highlights here, each server node shall have the ability to make its client nodes dynamically aware of the other client nodes. Now, I'm jumping a little bit ahead because when we look at the grid topology, what we're talking about in for the grid parts is a point-to-point or peer-to-peer relationship. But there are scenarios, and we found this in FNMS, when they don't have the resources or capacity to actually participate in a network like that. So we give a model what's called route not read. And in this, I believe, is one of the very smart things that FNMS did, and to replicate it here would be very good. All right? Also, we want to be able to broadcast, unicast, and multicast information. So broadcast meaning I am a node on in this network. I want to be able to broadcast to everybody who's on that network. Unicast meaning I have some type of sensitive data I want to send to another node, and I can do that as well. And then multicast, I want to submit information to a subsection or a subgroup of those nodes, and that can occur as well. Again, thinking about these things in the beginning actually make a more successful data grid. All right? Some of the other ones, nodes shall have the ability to communicate using secure, reliable transport best practices. And that is just fundamental. It is what made FNMS today, the product that it is today, because you have to have a way to transmit this sensitive data to be able to encrypt it and then use SSL again to send it over that channel to an endpoint. So again, just replicating that here just makes sense. Okay? And the last one, of course, the node software shall have a small footprint, easy to use, and operating system / device independent, easy to manage. Again, this revolves just around support, and this revolves around just getting the software out there so people can connect and talk to each other. A lot of things that we've seen in FNMS is that we over the years we've made it simpler and simpler, where it started off in back around the first conference, the first FIN conference, we had a slide presentation for FNMS that was 164 slides, how to install FNMS. As we move forward, today, that same presentation just because of the ease of use that we put into the software, maybe 10 slides to get it up and going. But there's still some challenges, but again, here what we want to do is think about these things first. Now, this is the network topology. And again, in previous network slides and for the mess, last year we had one of our members at the time to present a hub and spoke kind of network that you see here in the bottom, the three circles on the side, and then you kind of had a point-to-point peer relationship here. Now, with Globus, we're focusing on point-to-point or peer-to-peer relationships. But again, we want to also facilitate the hub and spoke kind of relationships, which is backed by things like a route not read kind of model. Now, again, I'm going to reemphasize users control devices. So if a user has several devices or several grids deployed, then he should be able to control those inside of that network in a manner, and we'll talk about that. Also, with this approach, this is an infinitely scalable solution with smart infrastructure planning. So basically, you know, of course, on one node, you don't want to put a million node clients, but you want a load balance, you want to use some very smart network things, but with proper planning, you can do that in a manner that they can make it very scalable. And the entire goal of this, again, is to reduce costs, reduce maintenance, and encourage interoperability. All right, this is the grid node, data grid node architecture. All right, now these are some of the main components, but these are the things that actually, that I encountered just makes sense to have. Okay, and you actually see some of these similar types of components replicated in the Globus framework. All right, so one of the first things for security, you wanna have some type of access control or redirector. So basically, information will come in to the system, and it will look at your credentials and see if you're valid and basically route you to whatever service that's you're allowed on. Now, you have a user management and administrative management. Now, the user management is a very interesting concept. What it does, it is a system that allows the user that is a part of this grid node to manage themselves. They want to change information, they want to update information, they want to add services, so on and so forth. And you see this replicated, of course, in SDN, but this has even more functionality in it. But what that does, again, it lowers your support burden because you don't have to interoperate or interact as much with the clients as you should, as you do now. All right. Also, there's a registration manager. Now, the registration manager, again, is one of the most important things. A lot of times what we do, we deploy FinMS. Well, FinMS does not have a registration system similar to what you see in SDN. What we want to do is replicate something like that so then the user can more easily support themselves and things can happen autonomously. All right? Some other things you'll see, like in Globus, a microkernel that actually controls all the applications. It controls application security. Some type of PKI or security management system is built in, but this one is a little bit more robust, in that it actually will push credentials out to individual devices in an automatic way. So basically, for instance, let's say if your credentials expire, and everybody that uses FinMS knows, yearly basis, your credentials expire, you have to renew, have to deploy new certificates. Well, what this system would do is send an email to the user and say, hey, are these resources still within your control? You then log in as that user, and you can see all the nodes that are in your control, and then click off the ones that you're still within your control. Then in an automated fashion, those credentials are pushed down to that to those devices, okay, which tremendously eases the ease of use. All right. Now, this is an approach for a simplified security, a simplified PKI infrastructure. Now, the first thing that we want to do is each node should have the ability to be its own CA. Now, we know at CDC that does not work just because of OMB reasons and things like that. But at the state and city and the smaller public health organizations, that works perfectly. So just having a system that works and you know it's secure will be good enough. Now, of course, that should be, if we're going to use it at a federal level, then you need to extend that to leverage the certificate management system that it supplies. All right? Now, of course, authorization and authentication should be controlled at each node. The ability to generate the not only the CA certificates, but also the SSL and device level certificates, okay? So basically, you're just, your PKI is all self-contained. You don't have to go externally. Now, you at some point in the future, you can have the option to do that, to go externally, but coming out of the box just to reduce cost, you want to be able to do all these things yourself. All right. Now, again, each server node shall allow its client nodes to securely and reliably proxy traffic through the client nodes. Now, what this is the route not read model. In instances where someone does not have the proper infrastructure, that they don't want to have the expense of setting something up, then they can leverage this as a way to actually transmit data. But again, what's reinforced here is that if at all possible, you always want to do a peer-to-peer relationship, a communication on the public health grid network. All right? Some of the other ones, and I won't go through all of them, each client should have the ability to consume credential packs optionally or with or without user interaction. This just reinforces the idea that I was telling you about earlier of if you're a user, you receive an email asking a question, you log in as that user, and then your credentials are pushed dynamically to those ones that are still within your control. All right. Now, this is the functional layout of the prototype. If we, again, start in the beginning here on the side, we always reinforce that users control devices. So the reality is you're a user. You might have a PDA. You might have a smart cell phone. You might have some type of server that's in your control, and you might have a desktop. Well, you want to connect each one of those devices to the grid. And so we could talk about those instances here. All that, again, with the small footprint of the software, you can place all that information or that program on each one of those devices, quickly grid enabling each one of those devices. So it meets the needs at all levels. Whether you are an epidemiologist in your office and you're just analyzing data, or you're an epidemiologist out in the field actually responding to some event, then it can enable you in both ways. All right? Again, the best practice for FidoMask and the best practice for here, again, is point to point. So here, what we have is the DMZ, and you typically have some type of web proxy. Web proxy, again, does authentication, connects to some back-end database or data server, actually, and then determines that you are authenticated and lets you in. Once you're allowed in, you go to a redirector, which looks at your what are you authorized to access, which services are you authorized to access. And based on that, you go to any one of those services in the background. Now, the application publish and subscribe mechanism will actually allow you to access different applications. Again, a good reference to that is what SDN does. You go on and you apply for activities, you get additional activities, and you can be denied those activities the same way. This acts very similar. All right. Again, now for your search, you want to be able to search across many nodes. Now, this is just for convenience that I put all these additional grid nodes in the back, but ideally, of course, they'd be on outside of DMZ. But this allows you to log into one grid node and then search over however many grid nodes, get the results back, and then collectively look at that data, okay? Also, now, the other thing, this is what FidoMask does, this message processor unit. Incoming data comes in, goes into some type of data store. Currently, FidoMask supports GMS and databases and also flat files, but this could also be some type of space implementation. And it connects to your back-end applications. So inside of your enterprise, you're able to connect to these data stores and pull that information, process that information, or even respond to it, and the information can be transmitted out on the client connector, back out to wherever the request is coming from. And again, we want to facilitate users-controlled devices. Again, this is very important. This supports the clustered search and data views, and also a seamless application integration, which the grid container, grid component, is just one component of the enterprise with all the other applications that are out there that a public health organization would need to run effectively. So the conclusion, I'm going to give the open source credit. All the projects that I used in this effort, Java, of course, is the base. ThinWire, which is an Ajax component, which actually will bring up pages that look just like if you're in a rich application, like a Microsoft Office situation. H2 database, that's an extension of HSQLDB, which was also an open source project, but this one is actually one of the fastest and most reliable databases in comparison to MySQL and PostgreSQL and a few others. They've done significant benchmarking if you go out through its site. Jetty is one of probably the best embedded application server out there compared to, there's some other ones that are smaller, but this one is truly designed to be embedded and to be very robust. Okay? The pushlet technology is actually, it's the RESTful web service engine. So what it does is instead of using the like JAX implementations of web services, it uses an easier interface and is highly adaptable and interoperable. Or it's called pushlet. And you guys can go to any one of these sites and just do a search on them. I should have put the sites up there too, but they're pretty easily found. Bounty Castle. We've used Bounty Castle and FinimS since day one. That's our security API that actually does a lot of different things, from encryption to certificate generation to just tons of things. It's very popular and has been out there for quite some time. Apache Commons, tons of different libraries, just like in a common format, things like reading configurations and timing mechanisms and things like that, all built into the Apache Foundation, Apache Commons. Hibernate. Now, there's one thing, Hibernate right now, I've run into some issues with it, and again, I want to share just my real-world experience. For one is the footprint size, it starts to grow a little bit more than I want it to grow, so I want to push it back down. I actually found another component that actually has a smaller footprint, easy to use, and it's actually incorporated with H2. Now, one thing that my goal is to be able to expand it or extend it onto not only just that platform, that database, but also to SQL Server or Oracle. So again, this API that they created allows us to do that in a much smaller footprint. Another, I think, very rarely known open source project is called Carrot Search. And this has clustered search algorithms built in. And you can go to their site and check it out, and it's pretty cool. It will actually search across like a Google, a Yahoo, other search engine sites, or you can set it up to search across data and so on and so forth. But again, it's open source and it's pretty cool. Everybody knows Google Maps. And then ISPAC, which is an installer, is one of the baseline installers that people rarely see. We use Install Shield. Install Shield actually took their open source implementation, built some wrappers around it, and presented it and resold it. But it's a very good and reliable installer. Now, one of the other things that needs to be done is to develop a universal, repeatable support plan for everybody. And while, you know, the writing of that document process and all that isn't my focus, but if you begin to write a document that you can distribute to people like you do open source, and so if someone picks up that document and says, hey, I want to create my own grid network, or I want to support my own grid nodes, what do I do? Where do I start? And so this document would then describe how you would do that. Now, there's plenty of people out here that had a real world experience to do that, but beginning that type of documentation is going to tremendously move this effort forward. All right. The roadmap and next steps. There's some things that we're trying to complete. We want to complete a generic packaging. Being a developer, we put some stuff in there that we are kind of more system reliant, so to pull that stuff out and then finish packaging that, we want to do that. Finish the installation scripts. And all this is before we actually post to SourceForge. The SourceForge project is a service matrix. And basically is going to be open source, so people can download it, use it, participate, you know, do as you like. Some of the other future steps beyond that extend the PKI to leverage federated ID management schemes. So basically, so it can be used in at the federal level as well. We also want to begin to look at integrating some of these services with the Globus toolkit. So again, the goal is to take this reference implementation and put it onto the Globus platform. All right. Also, of course, the things that developers hate to do the most is to develop documentation and knowledge base. So basically, help people so they can help themselves. Any questions, comments, or about this approach or prototype, there's my email. I'd be happy to answer any of those for you, the progress and things like that. All right. Any questions? Well, I mean, again, for servers and PCs, you know, it's not really a big issue. But of course, for smart devices, you know, I also have an embedded background experience, and I know that devices have moved forward since I've done hardened development for that. But as in the embedded world, you want to keep things as small as possible, and so here is just a very conscious effort to do that. So that you know, you move down the road, if there's another type of smart device, you want something to work very seamlessly, download issues, bandwidth, I mean, all kinds of things. I think it's just a smart idea to move forward with that and to keep it small as you can, without sacrificing capabilities. Any other questions? The documentation? So okay, let me get it straight. You're saying you're providing documentation for? Oh, I see. For FinMaster. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, yes. I believe we do actually. FinMS does have the document, does have the scripts. But there's some more documentation. Mr. Tom Brinks is sitting on the second row right here. And he could. Yes, if you talk to Mr. Tom Brinks, he will help you out with that problem. Any other questions? Here you go.
So I understand this is still kind of in its infancy. Are there any real life examples that you?
No, I have not.
And is there a timetable or a target at this point for doing that?
I mean, this has been done independently. And so it's, you know, as much time as have a team of us that are actually working on it that we have to dedicate to it. We're trying to, it's pretty much done. Of course, developers are, you know, we're artists. And so we're actually trying to get the perfect picture. But, you know, we also realize there's a need that we need to fulfill. So once we put it out there, please, you know, criticize and kick the tires, but also come join us and come help us, you know, move it forward. No, this is going more along the lines of an application. It's like kind of like FinMS. You know, FinMS at some point bridges into a toolkit with the capabilities, but you know, again, at its core, it's an application. You start it up, it runs, it's doing everything you need to do. Now we need to connect to different databases. You need to talk to web service agents, you know, things like that. Then, you know, then there you see the toolkit. Here is the same kind of concept.
How large is the current team working on this at CDC?
Well, no one at the CDC is working on this. This team is completely embedded with Vanguard.
Okay. And are there plans post deployment of some type of formal evaluation of utility of such an effort to public health and how it actually return on potential investment?
I can't answer that question officially. I'm not, you know, this is, again, this project is independent of that. I mean, you know, the plan to move with Globus and just, you know, the directions at CDC being on the Globus platform, you know, is work on Globus. Now it's up to, I think, on the grid team, actually certifying or not certifying, but looking at the feasibility of some of the services currently. So, you know, to just say, hey, this works too, you know, would be an effort that the CDC would have to take on. But again, that's, you know, I can't speak on that. On their plans. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yeah. I'm sorry, say that one more time. Yes. Well, I'm using Node in the same context as what you would refer to as like FinMass. So FinMass has capability to transmit data as well as receive data. Here, that concept is the same. Is the same. Now, whether you want to leverage or use that is up to the user. Whether you want to use the receiving capabilities or not is up to the user. But the capability is nonetheless there. In this implementation. Now, again, the goal is to be just a node and the driver for the public health, the public health grid is just to recognize a node as a node in a peer-to-peer fashion. And again, that is the preference. So only would the other options come into play if there's some constraints or if there's just I only need a client set up here to access certain things or things like that. But from the public health grid perspective, you always want to be peer-to-peer, point-to-point.